We serve a mighty God. You pray for me, and I will pray for you. And watch and see if things don't change. God has called all of us to pray for one another, to be the body of Christ that intercedes for one another. That when our brother or our sister is down or going through, that we stand in the gap and pray for one another. There is a word from the Lord on today. Our word today comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. When you have it, please say amen. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33, and it reads as thus. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffered by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." If I was to tag our time together today with a title, it would be, "If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat." Let us pray. God, I thank you for this moment behind this sacred desk. I bless our pastor, O God, who thought it not robbery to share this sacred desk with us. Lord, bless us now, and we shall be blessed. Stand up in a strong, O God, and we shall stand and proclaim your word. Lord, work through us today that your people would be edified as you are glorified. This is our prayer, and we offer it up in Jesus' name. Amen. The scene for this biblical story was set by the death of John the Baptist, cousin of Jesus, who was killed by Herod the king. Herod, who had married his brother's wife, which was against the law, was called out by John. Herod, seeking to shut John up for ousting him, and because he feared John's popularity with the people, might turn the people against him. After John's arrest, Herod had a party, and while in a drunken state, promised to give his wife's daughter anything that she asked for if she would dance before him and the men at the party. After she danced, her mother instructed her to ask Herod for John's head on a platter. Herod was already fearful of having arrested John and causing an uprising among the people. But he could not go back on his promise, otherwise he would have lost face before his friend. So he had John beheaded. John's disciples took John's body and buried it as it was according to the law. Then they went and told Jesus what had happened. After Jesus heard the news, he left by boat and withdrew to the desert place. The Bible didn't say specifically, but I believe he went off to grieve for John, who was not just his cousin, but the forerunner for the work of the cross, salvation of humanity. Because Jesus was God wrapped in flesh, he knew the past, present, and future. His divinity knew that this would happen, and his humanity knew his own death was not far off. When the people heard where Jesus was, they left their villages and their cities and went to him. About 5,000 men, women, and children, an estimation of about 10,000 altogether. The people had traveled by foot for a long distance to reach Jesus, to hear him, to just be in his presence. We have had the promise of the Spirit of God, but for some reason, we don't think we need him until we're in a desperate situation. We come to church most times to fellowship, out of habit, out of duty, but we don't really come expecting to encounter God. But we saw an encounter of God on today. We saw it through our minister Holly as the Lord used him. That's an encounter with God. When Jesus saw them, he was moved with compassion and he healed them. Now evening had come and it was a long way back to their homes in the cities and the villages. So the disciples said to Jesus, "This is a desert. There is no place for these people to get food or refresh themselves. Please tell them, go to the nearby villages to buy something to eat." Jesus, who was the bread of life, God incarnate, was with them. The disciples was thinking the way we think sometimes. The creator of the world was with them. The supplier of every need was standing beside them. The giver of every good and perfect gift was with them. But they didn't think to ask Jesus, "How can we feed these people?" So often we have an opportunity to help people, and we don't because we look at our resources and don't talk to the one who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You see, Jesus' response was, "They don't need to leave. Give them something to eat." Of course, the disciples responded, "We don't have anything to give them. But there is a little boy who is here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said to them, "Bring me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Holding the boy's lunch in his hand, he commanded the people, "Sit down on the grass." Then he took the 5 loaves and the fish and he raised it up to heaven. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and told them, "Give the people food that they may eat." You see, this miracle was a foreshadow of the Holy Communion that we celebrate every Sunday. Jesus demonstrated to them and to us that he is the supplier of all our needs. Through him, our spirit, our soul, our bodies can and will be fed. When we make sitting at the feet of Jesus a priority, we need not worry about how he will meet our needs. Just know that he can and that he will. When all the people had eaten and was filled, Jesus told the disciples, "Pick up the leftovers." Pick up the leftovers, which was enough, was 12 baskets of fish and bread. When this was done, Jesus told the 12 disciples, "Take the 12 baskets and get on the boat and go to the other side." I don't believe that this was by chance that there was exactly 12 baskets of leftovers, the same as the number of disciples. You see, every disciple had his own basket of proof of the miraculous blessings of God. You see, they had a testimony of what God can do. You can start with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and God can feed over 10,000 and then have some leftovers. You see, that's how God wants to bless us. He wants us to know that your little bit, he can take it and make it a lot. If you would just be a blessing to somebody. After the disciples left, Jesus told the multitude of people, "Go back home. Go home now." And then he went to the mountain, and there he prayed alone. The disciples went into the boat, heading for the other side, when a great storm came up. The winds were strong, and the waves were slamming against them, against the ship, and they feared that they would die. They were fishermen who had been in this situation before, and for some reason this time, it was different. We have all been in some storm of some kind in our lives. And although we made it through the storms, a storm can come up like none we've experienced before and rock our boat. You know, we have had some difficulties before and somehow we got through them. But this time it's just different. You see, the storm is showing no signs of passing over. The winds are howling and the waves are getting bigger. Where are you, Lord? We need you tonight. Where are you, Lord? Where are you today? But you see, in that fourth watch of the night, about 3 in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the water. Have you ever been in a storm so overpowering that all you could do was pray and cry out to the Lord in the midnight hour? And just when you thought you might not make it, the Spirit of the living God come walking into your stormy life. Come walking into your situation. Come helping, come bringing that blessing that you need to get you through to the other side. It was 10 o'clock. It wasn't 10 o'clock. It wasn't midnight. It was in the fourth watch of the night, just before the dawning of a new day. The Lord came walking on the waters of your life, calming the winds that are rocking your boat, commanding the waves of nausea and the winds of heaviness, of fearing the worst, to stop blowing in your life. I don't know about you, but I've had some of those experiences. When I went to bed troubled all night long, just moving from side to side, asking God to help me with this situation. And just when I cried out to the Lord, the winds just seemed to cease. And the Lord just showed up in my spirit and told me everything's going to be all right. Trust me and know that I'm able to bring you through this storm. You're not in this by yourself. I'm right here with you. When you've done all that you can do and all that you know to do and none of it is working, this is when Jesus comes along and changes everything. This is when the faith, your faith in the living God, will take over. This is when you surrender and give it to Jesus. Here was his 12 disciples in a ship that was being tossed by the winds and slammed by the waves in the middle of the sea. We have all had some middle of the sea experiences. You see a diagnosis that could take us out. You see drowning in bills and not enough money coming in. Children have lost their minds. Spouses forgot their vows, for better or for worse. But Jesus comes walking on the water of your life in the nick of time. You see, Jesus came towards them and they became more fearful, thinking it was a spirit, a ghost coming to them in the middle of the sea. "What is this?" they cried out. "Is it a ghost?" Oftentimes, of great distress, we began to assess our lives. What have I done to cause this thing to happen to me? What didn't I do that I should have done? Is this because of some unrepentant sin that I just conveniently forgot about? Jesus, hearing their cries, said to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." As I was thinking about this scripture, I was trying to put my sermon together. It brought back a remembrance to me of a book written by Charles Dickens entitled A Christmas Carol. The book later became a movie, and there have been many renditions of this movie over the years. The main character's name was Scrooge. The plot is about a man who had risen to great wealth, but instead of being a blessing, he became mean, self-centered, and a cruel person. He isolated himself from his family, overworked his employees, causing his assistant to miss family time and neglect her mute son. He only thought about himself. He fired people at Christmas time, not caring how this would affect the family. The ghost of Christmas past showed up and took him on a journey, showing him how all the mean and cruel things he had done had caused devastation to others. I don't know why God brought this story to mind, but so often when we're in a great storm, our minds race to the things we know we have not done that God have told us to do. The ghost is really the Holy Spirit, I want you to know, calling us to a higher place in God. When our lives take us to this place, we need to call out on Jesus. Repent and receive the blessings God has for us. Repent and ask for forgiveness. Jesus will come walking on the waters of your life. Repent and know that we serve a God who looks beyond fault and see our needs. Hold on, y'all. The blessing is getting bigger. When Jesus called out to Peter, big mouth disciple, you know the one, switchblade toting Peter. You know the one who God told that Jesus was the Son of the living God. You know the one who denied Jesus 3 times. You know the one, Peter, even today, in Rome at the Vatican, there is a church called St. Peter Basilica. That's the one whom God says, this is Peter, the rock, which means rock, that I will build my church upon. You know the one who always talked out of turn. You know the one who was bold for Jesus. You know the one, Peter. He had tenacity. He was bold for the Lord. He didn't get it right all the time, but you got to give credit where credit is due. Some of us sit measly mouth with our mouths closed, but Peter stepped up to the plate because he knew whom he was serving. Jesus responded, come. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water towards Jesus. Then Peter, taking his eyes off of Jesus, saw the strong wind and became so afraid he started sinking. But Peter didn't drown, y'all. He called out to Jesus, save me, Lord. At once, Jesus reached down and grabbed him and said, little faith you have, why have you doubted? Jesus is asking us the same question today. Why do you doubt? I'm here. And I promised that I would be here with you. It doesn't matter if it's a windstorm, if it's a hurricane, if it's a tornado, if it's a tsunami, I'll be right here with you, right through it. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is saying to us in these passages today, these recorded miracles, that we too can have strong winds in our life, strong waves buffering up against us. But like his disciples, who knew who he was, that even though that they were in the will of God, it does not exempt you from storms in your life. I want somebody to hear that. Because sometimes we make the mistake of telling people that because you're walking with Christ, that every day is going to be a day of sunshine. But I want to tell you today that that's not so. That you're going to have some storms in your life. But the good thing is, the great thing is that we know the one who has the power to cease, cause the winds to cease and the rain to stop and the waves to calm down. No matter what the situation is, he's able to handle each and every one of them. You see, it's in the storms of life our faith in God grows. It's in the storms of life we come to know that we know the God who loves us and can do all things for us. It is in the storms of life that we find the courage, like Peter, to think and do some things we never thought we'd be able to do. You see, it's in the storms that we find our way to a higher height in God. I've been instructed by the Holy Spirit to leave you with a few directives found in these scripture verses. First, obey God's instructions, no matter the cost. Because if God brings you to it, he can bring you through it. God speaks to us and tells us what to do. And when we do it, sometimes we don't want to do it because we get caught up in our flesh and start thinking about what it's going to cost us. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out the boat. God is telling us to be a blessing to people or to a person. And our selfish flesh pretend we don't hear the Lord. The Lord tells us to save some money. A storm is coming. We're going to need a financial anchor. But we get to looking at the Joneses and spending every dime and living beyond our means. The Lord tells us, go back to school and prepare for the next phase of your life. But we make excuses and settle for instant gratification. This world we're living in is no surprise to God. We're living in stormy times, people. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but we're living in some stormy times. And if we are the people of God are going to make it, we're going to have to learn how to listen to God, how to follow his instructions, and how to obey his will. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have been endowed by the Holy Spirit with gifts to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out the boat. The second thing we need to remember is that when the storms of life come up upon us, we ought to take courage and know that God is in the storm with us and to not be afraid. It's human nature to fear the unknown. But God is saying, you know me. I've been here with you before. Take courage and don't be afraid. This choir leads a song here and sings a song here, and Vanette leads the song. And some of the words go something like this. He's brought you through this and he's brought you through that. God is faithful. You see, God is faithful to you and to me. But we have to learn how to operate in our faith in God. You see, walking on water means trusting God to do something that you are not capable of doing without him. Walking on water means stepping out of your comfort zone and being willing to take a risk. Walking on water means letting go of some people and some things. If you want to walk on water, you just got to get out that boat. You see, that third thing the Lord wants us to remember this morning is to trust God and take him at his word. God wants to do some miraculous and phenomenal things in the life of his people. Jesus responded to Peter's request, come. Is there anybody in here today hearing God say to you, come? Is there anyone in here today desiring to build up your faith in God so that he can use you to do some miraculous things for the kingdom of God? Is there anyone in here today willing to step out of your boat and allow God, Jesus, to show up and empower you to walk in a miracle? If you are, you can say like the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Peter went on and he failed a few other times. You know that in his failing, Jesus forgave him just as he died to forgive us. But the miraculous thing about Peter was after Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 was added to the church. Yes, he failed. Yes, we fail. But God is saying, if you trust me, I don't care about what happened yesterday. I know what I'm going to do today. Are you willing to get out of the boat? I got some people I need to use. I got some ministry I need to get out beyond these walls. Is there anyone in here willing to get out of the boat? I read a story as I was doing my research about a man who is now a pastor. When he started on his journey to becoming a pastor, he had a six-figure job in corporate America. While still on his job in the financial industry, he heard God say to him, go to seminary. So he obeyed and went. At the same time, he was volunteering in the ministries in his home church, working on his well-paying job to support his family. Halfway through the seminary journey, the Lord spoke to him again and says, quit your job and go into full-time ministry. He became so anxious. How can I leave my job? I have a family to support. Where am I going? No church has called me. I haven't finished my seminary training. This was his conversation with God. As he was calling out to Jesus, telling the Lord all the reasons why he was having difficulty doing what the Lord had told him to do, the Lord said to him, trust me. I've called you to get out of the boat. This man went on and obeyed God, although it was difficult. But he stood on the promises of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He went into his boss's office and handed in his resignation. As he was doing it, he kept reminding himself of the question that God asked him. Are you going to trust me or the paycheck? He didn't know where he was going, how he was going to get there, or how he was going to support his family. He still had to finish school. Where was the money coming from? But he trusted God and got out of the boat and began to walk on the water towards the purpose of his life. The days ahead were not always easy or without challenges. But God kept his promise as he always does. And now today, this pastor is walking in the will of God. The God met every need that he and his family had. There was some wants that went unfulfilled for a season. They had to wait. But God kept his promise. This pastor concluded in his story what we have all come to know. The financial industry in this country and the world turned upside down for a season. There are some who are still recovering. There are some who are still without a job. And there are some whose lives will never be the same. But you see, as this pastor looked back for a moment, realizing that he would have lost his job anyway. But God, knowing that he would be faithful, called him out and made provisions for his servant. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out the boat. That last and final word for us today is kind of my testimony. That's why the word stood with me so strong, the story. The last and final word for us today is found in that 30th verse as I come to a close. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." When Peter focused on Jesus and trust Jesus with his life, he was able to walk on water. But when he took his life eyes off of the Lord, he saw the wind and began to sink. Yes, there will be winds and there will be waves. But remember to focus on Jesus. He controls every wind and every wave that can come in our lives. God has not promised us a part of the way blessing, but an all the way blessing. God has not promised us to get us started and to leave us in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the assignment, or in the middle of the call. He is an on-time God, and he never fails. He promised to be with us just as he promised his disciples in Matthew 28:20. Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Those words spoken to Moses in the book of Exodus, "I am," means the same as the words spoken to the disciples in that 27th verse. It is I, meaning I am God. There is no reason to fear. In the Gospel of John, which is different from the other three Gospels, known as the Synoptic Gospels, because they mirror each other. John's Gospel records Jesus' teachings in the present tense as spoken by Jesus. "I am the bread of life, which comes down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he will never hunger. You see, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light in their life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find great pastures. I am the good shepherd, the shepherd who gives life for his sheep. I am the Son of God. When you see me, you see he who sent me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he may be live. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You see, I am the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. I am from everlasting to everlasting." And my favorite. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believed in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." As we leave this place today, I don't want you to leave without remembering that if you want to walk on water, you have to get out the boat. I want you to walk into your destinies, people of God. I want you to walk into your new season. I want you to walk into your calling through Jesus Christ. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out the boat. But don't you get out that boat until Jesus says, "Come." You see, you need the power of the living God to walk on water. You need power of Jesus in your life to do what you've been dreaming of doing. You need the power of Jesus in your life to bless you miraculously. Now, if you're ready to walk on water, ask the master and he'll say, come, get out of the boat. God is looking for some water walkers today. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to walk on water. I'm ready to step out and do what God has called me to do in a great and mighty way. There's some water walkers in this house today, and they're sitting down on Jesus. I'm telling you today, you better get up. You better say, Jesus, if it's you, call me. And Jesus will say, come, walk with me, talk with me, and I will tell you what it is I have for you to do. Great and wondrous things. Minister West, you got to get out the boat if you want to walk on water. Minister Holly, you got to get out the boat if you want to walk on water. John, it's time to get out the boat to walk on water. Deacon Edmonds, you've been running a long time, but God said, get out the boat. It's time to walk. Trust me and know that I will provide. I know you're looking at where you are, but look at me. I'm the one who will empower you to do any and everything I've called you to do. We're so busy. Busy with what? What are we busy doing? Just being busy. God is saying, get out the boat. It's time. The world is changing all around us. People need to hear a word from the Lord. They need some real people to stand up and not talk about the big car or the big house, but talk about the resurrection of life. That there is a Lord who will save. That he went to Calvary. They stretched him wide. He died for our sins. Are you ready to walk on water? You have to get out the boat. Stop looking at your resources. Stop looking at your age. Stop looking at how far you went in school. God doesn't care about that. If you want to walk on water, it's time to get out the boat. You can put it off all you want to put it off. I'm 57 years old. I heard the Lord a long time ago, but I was too busy, too caught up with the world. Wanting to be like everybody else. When God said, I called you to be different. I don't want you to be like the world. I want you to be like me, like my son Jesus. That you might proclaim the gospel. That people might be set free. That those that are sick might be healed. Those that are broken might be mended. What's taking you so long to get out of the boat? And it doesn't matter how long you take. God's not gonna let you get off the hook. It doesn't matter how long you take to respond to Jesus. He will wait you out. If you have to do it from a wheelchair, you're gonna do it. So you might as well get up now and start walking. God is calling you to a higher place in him. He's calling you to do some miraculous things. Why are you sitting there and saying to yourself, I can't do it. I'm not able to do it. No, you're not able to do it, but God is. He can take nothing and make something out of it. He was the first recycler that this world has ever known. People talk about recycling. Oh, Jesus been recycling forever. He took a broke down fisherman and built his church upon that rock. Called Peter. He took some liars and made them into men of God. He took people who denied him and made something out of them. He doesn't care what you did yesterday. Yes, he wants you to repent for your sins, but God throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He don't stand there like people holding it up in your face every time you turn around, reminding you who you were. He doesn't care who you were. He said, I called you from the beginning of time when I created the world. I opened up the book. I wrote your name in it. I said you would do this and you would do that. God does not change his mind. He's not like men who love you today and hate you tomorrow. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve loves us beyond ourselves. We belong to him. He don't create no junk. There's not one of us that are the same. If he's that great, don't you think he's great enough to lift you up and turn your life around and make you what he would call, he desired that you would be? Oftentimes when I was saying no to the Lord, no. My son used to say, "Mom, why are you crying all the time? Why are you crying all the time, Mom? Why are you crying all the time?" I said, "Because I just don't want to do it. I just want to be regular. I want to be like everybody else. I want to have a family. I just want to be a wife and a mother. I'm not looking to do all this other stuff." But the Lord said to me, "When I created you, I knew that there was some people that was waiting on a word that was going to come from your mouth. And for each one of them, as found in the book of Ezekiel, God says to Ezekiel, go tell the man what he has done. And if he don't repent, then blood is not on your hands. But if you don't tell him, then the blood of that man's life is on your hand." And when the Lord spoke that into my spirit, I couldn't help but do what the Lord said to do. No, it wasn't easy. No, God never said it would be. Was it easy for Christ to go to the cross? Why can't we take up our cross and follow him? The Lord is saying to you today, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out the boat. Maybe some of you don't want to walk on water. You want to stay in the boat with the other 11 disciples and scream and holler and wonder if it's a ghost when the Son of the Living God is out there waiting for you. Maybe some of you are satisfied to just lead a life of mediocrity. Maybe you don't care about doing anything else but what you're doing. And if that's so, as the Son's song said earlier, we shall meet him and know by and by. When you stand before the throne of God and give an account for your life, and he said, "I called you to do such and such," what are you going to say? "Oh, no. I was doing other things, Lord. I just didn't have time for that. You know, I was busy." Busy doing what? No, this is not one of those words that's going to send you out here shouting. It wasn't meant for that. That's not why God told me to preach it. He said, somebody is sitting in the boat screaming, "Is it a ghost?" And he's saying, "It is I. I'm calling you out of the boat. Get out of that boat now. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out the boat."